Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Today we are joined with Lauren Kelly, who we've brought on the pod because she's going to regale us with a lot of stories and advice on something I think is not a controversial topic, but I think is a sore point for a lot of studio owners and school owners. And that is the topic of social media. There are a few topics that raise such emotional response in everyone. There's so many things wrapped up in the idea of social media. Do we like it or do we not like it? Should we use it for marketing? How do we use it for marketing? Of course, everyone at this point knows that you, quote unquote, need a social media page. You need a Facebook or you need an Instagram account for your studio. Everyone knows that, right? But what do you do with it? How do you grow it? Should you grow it? Is it something you should put a lot of time into? Do you separate your personal account from your business? There's all these questions. There's so much confusion around this. And the reason I wanted Lauren on was I think she has the largest social following of any studio I've ever seen. I think that's true. I can't think of a studio or school that has a larger social following. I think Lauren has a lot to share with us, a lot to teach us about why we should have social media, how to grow it, what we should do with it, and even some questions around the balance that we need to have around putting boundaries around our social media usage or our usage of it for business or personal. So Lauren, thanks for coming on. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Daniel. It's awesome to be here.
Cool. So I'm just going to kind of jump into the first question here. And of course, I'm typically joined by Nate, who's my co-host here of the podcast. Nate is traveling right now as we're recording this, so he couldn't jump on today, but he will be back next week. So Lauren, you and I are just going to have a conversation about social today, but I wanted to start just with a big, broad definition, not of what social media is. That's not what this podcast is about. But when we were kicking around the idea of what we talk about in the podcast today and how to use social media to, you know, for business purposes, I even wanted to start with a definition of what does it mean to you to even use the term growing your social media? What does that even mean to you? Let's just start with a big, broad definition.
Two things, I think. Mm. The first one would be increasing your followers, your viewership, people that, depending on the platform, the terminology might be different, but follow you, like your page, and engage. And not only that, but increasing the amount the amount that they're engaging, whether they're commenting, liking, sharing, all of the above. And the third thing is increasing or just growing or creating your own content. A little thing here is I know there are some people who have accounts and perhaps expect that, oh, they should have followers, but don't create any content. And I know that aside from my family and best friends,
right,
I'm not going to follow you unless you're doing something that's fun to watch. You know, you follow all the obligatory people in your life that you love and your family and your mom and your dad and your everybody. But other than that, if you're just sitting there with a stagnant account, there's not a lot of reason to follow someone. So anyway, so also creating content for your viewers.
I think this is a good point to jump in and ask you, what are the main social channels that you use personally? And then I think a subset of that question would be, in your expert opinion, what social channels should music studios and music schools primarily be focusing on?
The channels that I use are Facebook and Instagram. And I will say that a marketing mentor of mine has said that it's good to pick one and get good at it. I've picked two because you can cross-post. And I'm sure, you know what, you can actually cross-post on all of them. There are apps that allow you to do that. But Facebook and Instagram are both, they're so intertwined that if you post on one, it'll post on the other.
To me, if your primary target audience is either parents of children because you teach kids, or you're focusing on adult students, Facebook is the biggest game in town, in my opinion. Instagram is a close second. And then I personally used YouTube because I loved YouTube, but YouTube actually isn't really a social media platform. It is a search engine. Okay. People think of it as a social media platform, but it is one of the largest search engines in the world. It's just, it's a search engine of video content as opposed to all content, which is what Google search is. And my point is that I actually used YouTube as quote unquote free video hosting, and I would just post tons of student performances on there, and that functioned as social proof for my studio. And so I completely agree with you that using Facebook and Instagram, it's a must. And then using YouTube for video content of student performances or other things you might create, also a must. And then I also agree, TikTok, LinkedIn, some of these other alternative platforms, like Pinterest is still a big one, like things of that nature, probably not as important. And also agree, one at a time. one at a time, please, because it's just too much to do more. And in fact, I think even as we were talking previously off air, you had mentioned that you did Facebook for a long, long time and then you added Instagram later. Isn't that right?
That is true. Yep.
Yeah.
And I thought it was too late. I added Instagram because other people said I should. And I was like, I'm too late. And then now I'm the one saying to other people, do it. It's not too late. And I thought it was too late for me.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by GroupLessons.com. If you're looking for a group piano method that is easy to implement in your studio or school, look no farther than Piano Express from GroupLessons.com. Because unlike most group piano methods, Piano Express allows students to make individual progress within the context of a larger group. And because of the at-home practice tools and gamified curriculum, students using the Piano Express method make faster progress than the average method book student. And that helps students feel excited, accomplished, and motivated to learn new music. Also, the system is really adaptable. We've got teachers using the system in their home studios, and we have many large commercial studios running our three-room model that allows you to see up to 24 students per hour with just two teachers. So if you'd like to learn more about Piano Express, navigate to grouplessons.com and sign up for a free demo. You'll get to look at the method, our app and teacher guides, and we'll even give you a sneak peek of our implementation plan that has helped hundreds of studios start their group program in just a few weeks. So really easy question here next. What is your follower count right now on Facebook, and what's your follower count on Instagram? Just as a point of context.
Facebook is 81,000.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram is approximately 57,780. I do consult. I do look. It's 57,000, just about 58,000.
Okay. Yeah. So my question then following from that is, how did you grow your following so large?
I actually started by following people, getting their attention. I created content, but I really spent a lot of time following, and I followed people who were, and also leading back just to the previous question, I did want to say that my market is not only parents, but even more importantly is teachers, other piano teachers. So I look up using hashtags, or just, I would look up the name piano. I would follow them and I would engage with their content. So I would comment on their picture, on their photos, or their videos, whatever. And make meaningful comments, not just be like, love it, nice, heart, like actually, and learn the name of the person who's behind the account if I could, and say, Amanda, I really love what you're doing with your students, and make it personal. And so it doesn't look like you're spamming, and you want to be authentic and you want to mean it. And it means a lot to people. And then, hey, ask for a follow back. I started saying, I'm just starting out. I would love to grow this. If you feel like calling me back, I'd sure love it, you know, and leave that as a comment. I then started creating content. My content is a mixture of the following. So I do videos of my students. I post jokes. Anyone who follows me or knows me knows I love to laugh. I love to have fun. And I love to, so, So there's humor is a big element. So I post lots of things that I think are funny. And on a little tip, if you can make fun of yourself, that's endearing. It goes a long way. So anything, if there's ever a joke that makes fun of pianists, like there's this one where there's like, this thing got hot, like millions of views. It was just this cartoon. I always credit the person I'm reposting. So I repost other people's material, but there was like a cartoon and one guy in the window said, piano for sale. And the other guy and the neighbor in his window, the cartoon says, hooray or something, you know? And so you're kind of, it's like poking fun at being, it's annoying to live next to a pianist or, but so humor, self, a little bit of making fun of yourself. Then I post something that's a little bit educational. So I find, and a lot of it, honestly, Daniel, is not even my own material. And I'm not suggesting that, because I know a lot of people, all their stuff is their own material. And I think that's great. I think maybe I'm not that creative or I don't have enough of my own good material. So I find stuff of other people that I think is that really moves me. And I repost it and everybody wins. They get a bump. They get a, you know, they get known for it. I always credit them. Once in a while, it'll be like a generic repost and you can't tell who the author is, but I'll always repost. So something that's maybe a little bit educational, a how-to, something funny. Then I'll do like maybe like a little inspirational quote. So another thing I've learned is that I repost my content that has done well. And there's no shame in that. And because I was told to do, maybe there's shame in it. I don't feel it. And I was told that, I don't know. But so go back to your old content that you saw that if it did well. And honestly, we are all, me included, so wrapped up in ourselves that nobody's going to notice that you're repurposing your own content. So not only will it save you time, but every few months, if you've had something that's done well, and if you're worried that people are going to think, oh, she's reposted, just or think, call you out on it or notice, I always say, we'll say something like, oh, this is a throwback that warms my heart or something. And rather, and then I'm acknowledging that that's my way of saying it's repurposed or reposted. Then I use hashtags. Sometimes I'll use a big, massive, long list of hashtags. And then I've heard other people say, everyone's got an opinion and I don't know who's right. And I don't know if anyone's right. Whereas you can use a total of 30 on Instagram. So I've figured out like piano lessons, piano lesson, student, piano teacher, like every permutation of that. And then I've heard other times you just want to use one or two hashtags that are really trending. And so I'll use like, apparently the biggest hashtag on Instagram is the word is love. For example, it's got like 2 billion, that whatever. I don't know. So I'll just do a couple hashtags like love or amazing or.
Let me jump in here and say that some, you know, as I'm hearing some of these ideas, I want to focus in on some that would be particularly useful for local studios or schools. So, you know, there is a community of teachers on Instagram who are all, you know, reposting each other's content. What are some of the things that you would do that you do personally, but that would be of value to a local school that isn't necessarily trying to build a huge following amongst teachers, but literally just using it for discoverability in a local geographical area? So what things do you find are the most valuable to them?
I am so glad you asked that because 1,000%. I followed all the private schools. And not only that, if there's anyone personally who, like, if I can see who any of the teachers are, follow the teachers.
100%.
If I can then you know what I would do? Okay, so, and this goes for everyone I would follow. So first of all, if I'm going to follow the private school, I would then go to their comments and start, this is more at the beginning, I would start following the people that are commenting because the people that are commenting at the private 100%. Schools are the parents and the students. And not only would I do that, I would also comment myself. And
yes,
the other, actually, now that I think of it, and not only that, I actually would hashtag all the private schools in some of my posts. And I'll tell you how this one played out. Two of my most favorite, they're all my favorites, but two of my especially favorite students I've ever had came to me, get this, the way people have found me through social media is quite something. And it all adds up. They found me, they were moving here from London, England, and going to a private school. And they looked up the private school, where the private school had been hashtagged, and found me and came to me because of that, because I had included randomly in one of my posts, I posted a beautiful video of one of my students playing. And then I, in all the hashtags, I listed all the private schools. So it shows up when people search the private schools. So that's that. I'm still stuck on the private schools, but you can apply this to anything.
I just wanted to jump in there actually and say this. Think about it from the person who's viewing those comments. Think about it from their perspective. If your screen name is like, you know, GF1277, no good. But if you're, so in my case, if it was Piano Lessons Indianapolis and that was the username, that's going to be so much more valuable for you. Think of it from the other person's perspective. And then that idea of finding hashtags for the local schools, I think, is really, really smart. Commenting on those posts is good. And then couldn't agree more. If someone is active enough that they are posting on posts by this private school or the local public school or the local little league teams, the soccer teams, the baseball teams, they are probably Instagram super users or Facebook super users. And they're going to see you. And then the way the algorithm works, you're probably going to start getting recommended because they know other people that are following you, and it all starts to really, really work in your favor. And frankly, I got to be honest, this doesn't take a lot of work. You're not going to be spending hours a day doing this. You can do this 5-10 minutes a day. I've got a few others that I'll add to the list. I'm not going to elaborate on them, but I already said local little league teams, local chamber of commerce, local religious institutions, churches, mosques, synagogues, like all that sort of thing. Anything local where people congregate, where people gather together, good idea. And then if you know the local chamber of commerce, any business owners that are a member of that, they will all be supportive of you if they know you exist, but most of them don't know you exist. So if you start following them, leaving comments on their post, eventually you're going to get, oh yeah, I was recommended by this local insurance agent because you followed him 6 months ago and you've been posting every once in a while on the post as you authentically have a comment to make. So just some thoughts. Keep going though.
Daniel, you are reminding me of so many things I've done that I forgot I've done. And so I was making a mental list as you were chatting, as you were saying, because same thing. And the first thing I wanted to say is, yes, in your name. So my name is, and actually, unfortunately, I was late to the game and didn't even grab the URL, Piano Lessons Vancouver. My closest colleague and I are fighting over it, but we have been for 15 years and we're doing okay. But anyway, if you pick a name that basically says what you do and where you are,
yeah,
right? And so it's pretty obvious who I am and what I do in my name. And so I think that's a very good point that when I comment, I'm not user 61254641O. They'll see. Oh, there you go. So that's the first thing. And also, I would, by the way, I just thought of this now. I have my picture in my, it's an old picture, by the way. But anyway, whatever. And I have a picture. So I think it's nice to be personal. You could have a nice logo in the travel club. So, but you know what? People like people, and people often gravitate. They see a human and a smile, and there you go. Here are some other people, some other things that I've totally forgot that I look up. I can't even say them fast enough. Preschools is a big one.
Yes.
I followed all the preschools and all the daycares, and which was a lot. I follow all the kids' clothing stores. I thought, where do kids and moms and dads hang out? Clothing stores, bookstores. You're like the baseball, ballet schools, any other art. I followed all the other music schools, believe it or not. Like, I get known by the music schools. They're not competitors. We collaborate.
Yeah. Dance academies, karate academies, horseback riding club, like all that stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. All the places where kids are. Think of, so there. Now I don't even have to name them all because the pressure's off me. You can think of, you're probably thinking of more than I can even list. Anywhere right. that kids are. And anywhere that parents are, religious institutions, absolutely, churches, you know, and I, and also I randomly put use it's, people would think, they must think I'm so random because I'll put up a video of a student playing piano and then I'll hashtag like all the mosques or all the churches or all the daycares. But then when someone goes to look up the hashtag, all of a sudden they see this piano video. I've done it backwards too. So I've actually gone to the hashtag piano lessons, Vancouver, piano, Vancouver, piano teacher, Vancouver teacher, piano, like just all that. But then also, Vancouver kids, Vancouver children, kids, Vancouver, mom, Vancouver moms, mom, like any possible. And I, cause what would a mom use or so cute or super, like any hashtag that a Vancouver, now I've gone international and I have international students, but we're talking local right now. So, and then like karate, Vancouver, jujitsu, Vancouver, ballet lessons, Vancouver, or, you know, and Vancouver ballet, Vancouver, like just all the different.
Yes.
And then I go there, I comment on there. Yeah. I was going to say, so what I do with that when I get there is I find all the different posts and there'll be like a random mom whose child, this has happened too. I was following, or I found hashtag kids clothes or something. And I found some dresses that a little, and I thought, these dresses are so beautiful. What lovely, whatever. And it was a mom who saw my comment and thought, oh, well, I going to this kid's store. And I've remembered I was looking for a piano teacher. So I've had, this may sound ridiculous, but I've actually got, found students who have come from these random hashtags. It's not, and I can think of one. I commented on someone's dress on a fashion website and the mom came to me with a student. And so these things, yep.
That's incredible.
I mean, getting students is one thing, but there are so many other benefits.
Right.
This episode is sponsored by BigMusicGames.com. As our listeners know, Brooklyn Music Factory is all about a fun, fluency-first approach to music lessons. And at the foundation of our teaching methods are rhythm, melody, harmony, and songwriting games that challenge students as young as 4 years old to train their ears and flex that musical mind. Because when you set an intention of gamifying every single lesson, you're going to find improved attendance, increased play at home, and higher student retention. So we've set up a website just for our listeners so you can start playing today. Go to bigmusicgames.com/7FMS and create your free account. Again, that's bigmusicgames.com/7FMS. And if you join today, I'm going to send you a personal invite to join our weekly teacher training call with me and Greggy Bizzle, our chief game designer. Go ahead and put play back into practice with Big Music Games.
And, you know, I will say that as we were discussing this episode and what to focus on, we did want this to be a little bit less about quote unquote marketing using social media and the bigger idea of growing the social following. And so I think you make a perfect segue there. What have the benefits been to you? Like what, you know, more so than just getting students, what are those numerous benefits? Maybe we can create an inventory of benefits right now for someone who's still maybe in the back of their head, they're hearing us get excited about using hashtags and making comments, and they're just still thinking like, do I really want that? So what are some of those benefits beyond just getting more students, which of course is important?
The first one is trust. The bigger your following is, the more you look like somebody. So if I look at a school, I'll talk schools because I know a lot of your listeners, most of your listeners are school owners. And so, and I could definitely think in that way. So let's say you're looking for a music school for your child and you see one that has 100,000 followers and one that has 150. And if these, and it may mean, chances are the implication or the subliminal is that the other one is a real thing. It builds trust.
Yeah.
And in my marketing travels, because I love marketing and I love business, is people are going to spend money when they trust you. So as so you look, you, the more followers you have, you look like you're established. You may not be, but you look like you are anyway. So I think that's a big one. As a music school owner, I would imagine that you want to appeal not only to students and parents, but also teachers, because you want to attract quality teachers.
Wow. Now,
if I'm a teacher moving to town or and I'm wanting to teach somewhere, I want to teach at the best school. So where's the best school? Probably the one that is the most established, has the most going on. So you're probably going to get better teachers. And then, so there's that. You're going to attract and retain quality teachers. Now, when I started building this social media, I was purposely trying to grow it, and I didn't know why, but I knew it would be for something. And so you're building, and anyone who's in business knows it's good to have an email list or an audience. Because if you ever come up with something that you want to market later, that all of a sudden you've got a built-in, there's your clients right there. Here's a smaller example, but I think could be used on a bigger scale thing too, on a bigger scale. So the other day I had to move my piano. And I said to the piano movers, I have the social media following. If I advertise you guys as my movers, they give me 50% off because I decided to advertise them.
Wow.
The hall where I hold my, now I know that this can be applied on a larger scale, but I'll just give you some of these examples. The hall where I host every year, it's a beautiful hall. It's very expensive, where I host my recitals. I repost through the year videos of my students playing in that concert. It's obviously their hall, and I use their name every time. So they give me the hall for half the price. Anything that a school would use or need, any of the supplies or the that you could probably get deals with their, and anything you'd need to purchase or use in your school, if you advertise or give them a shout out, they're going to give you a discount. So there would be that.
I just want to jump in here and say that, I mean, so much of this is so compelling. I want to make the point that, and this is, in some circles, this has become almost cliche, but I don't think that most studio or school owners are in some of the circles where this has become the cliche. But 5-6 years ago, there was this meme that was going around amongst marketers that we were in a new age and we were in the age of the personal brand. And whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it, whether we're comfortable with it, that those are the rules of the game now. When television came out, those who refused to adapt to television and wanted to keep running radio ads eventually died. When the internet came out, when digital advertising came out, there were people that were like, yeah, this is a fad, not interested. We're just going to keep running our television ads. Those businesses died. Now, again, this is kind of the cliche. This is the television. This is the thing. And whether or not you like that you have to have a personal brand, yeah, I was holding my phone for those who aren't watching.
I know, me too. Right, exactly. I have mine up as well.
Right.
Mine's not far either. Yeah.
Yeah. You can complain that, oh, it's just so, just another thing that on my list of things to do, I need to do social media. I'm just going to reframe it. It isn't another thing on your list of things to do. It is the thing to do.
Yeah.
It is the thing to do. And I know that my message has largely been one of ads and Google ads and things of that nature. And that certainly is not something I'm backing away from. And I never will. Like there is value in paying for reach.
Google's on the internet, Daniel. Google's on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Google ads are important. We're not talking about those right now, but they're important.
Yeah. But as social goes, understanding the rules of that game and participating in it and doing some of the things that we're talking about here has become a non-option. And go ahead.
So I have two thoughts. I'm just going to say that in case I forget the second one, but I'm really glad you said that. social media, there's a stigma that it's, and it's not wrong. It's addictive. It's a time waster. And I'll tell you, believe me, I am. If it's more than anyone, definitely spending a lot of time in my downtime too. So there are the things that maybe like, or it's unhealthy, or we're living our lives online, or all the things that you read and get out and live life and all that. I totally agree with all that. And I also, we cannot deny that the world is on the internet. Now drive down the street. And I was going to frame this as this being a sad thing. It's not a sad thing or a happy thing. It's reality. You drive down the road, and if let's say you're looking at people sitting in bus stops, you're looking at people walking along the road, crossing, they're all looking at their phone. Now, I'm not framing that as a good thing or a bad thing. Let's just look at that right now. I used to say, oh, isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that the world is going that way? I'm just going to let go of that for the moment and just say, you know what? That's not a good or a bad thing. That's just the way it is. Now, if everyone is looking at this all the time, then this, if you want to have a successful business, regardless of your personal feelings about social media, this is where you need to be to get the clients.
So up to this point, we've talked about what does it mean to grow social media? How did you grow your following so large? And, you know, what are the implications for someone listening? And then the benefits of that to you. And there were some here that you mentioned that I honestly, from a creative perspective, had never thought of before.
I've got another one, personally experienced. Can I throw it in?
Yeah, please. Yeah, go.
Because this is a big one, and it's for schools, actually, even more so. And the word to encompass all of it is community. Now, from a business standpoint, from my mentor, because I'm a business geek, just like you, Daniel. I love business and I love marketing. And so I have mentors in that area that are non-music people that have been told, I've been told that people will come for the content or the product, which is me or the piano lessons or whatever, but they will stay for the community. And so as a music school, and particularly lessons, and I know you've got group lessons, so that's great, but also I know you've got private lessons. And so learning privately can be very lonely. Now, you've got your school. Let's say you build a large following. You've got, your school has a million followers or whatever. It looks like a real thing. And you're posting your teachers. You're posting the students. You're posting you're going to grow the community, and it's going to look like a real thing. And people want, as humans, we want to be part of a community, of a family, of a group. We want to be part of something. So if you create something, people are going to want to be part of it. Create an event for your school. So I'm going to do a piano Olympics or Technique Olympics for my studio next year. And then I'm going to, you know, of course, post it on social media. But it's going to be videos and pictures of a whole bunch of people together doing something special with piano or music. And then people will see it. And then you post it. Look at this great event that we're all going to, and people will see it and they're there. I want to be part of that. And then post the teachers and use words like family. We're a music family. And just, you can really grow that way by creating the sense of community and family. And people are going to want to be they're going to be drawn to that. Not just, I want to be part of not only like, okay, the school has good teachers and I want to learn how to play music, but there's something more here. And that will really appeal to people at the heart. And people purchase with their hearts. People pull out their credit cards and buy, you know, with their hearts. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are some things where the time between discovery and me saying, oh, I have to have that, there's no logical thought because it bypassed that point. It was just a feeling of seeing and, oh, I want that. We can go overboard with that feeling. So it's good to have that in check somewhat, but there are some things where it is such an emotional response that it kind of bypasses that logic center of the brain. And I think that's what you're talking about there. So, you know, I think as we draw into the close here, or as we go into the close, maybe we can have a little bit of a casual discussion here. For a larger school, maybe, or even a studio, where the owner is busy or they're focused on the educational component of the studio, perhaps they have, you know, perhaps they have the studio, but then they're also very involved in local music organizations, things of that nature. And they hear us talking about all the social media, finding hashtags, this sort of thing. Do you think a lot of the things that you've said here can be executed by an admin in the studio or someone that's working for the studio, maybe a teacher who's really excited about social media? They could execute some of these strategies. Do you think that's possible? And if so, why? And if not, I'd love to hear your other thoughts too, pushback.
If I understand your question correctly, Daniel, I think yes. So I'm just going to check that I understood you correctly is basically, could you hire a social media manager to be posting everything? Mm. Is that what you're asking?
Mm. Yeah, but let me even clarify more. So a social media manager internally, do you think it's possible for them to develop skills just beyond, oh, hey, here's some videos we made, go post them, but to do some of these creative things like finding hashtags, leaving comments on other local businesses, like some of these things that feel a little more personal, a little more authentic? Do you think someone in the school, an admin, a desk worker, a teacher who's really good with social media, do you think they can do that on behalf of your school? Do you think that's possible?
Totally. I mean, if I can do it, anyone can do it. That's what I just would check that you'd want to make sure you're making someone or hiring someone who is funny, be creative. I have a lot of fun with the editing of, I'm not super good at editing videos yet. That's my next thing. But the, in terms of putting them and putting like the cute little graphics and emojis and all that stuff that like visually appealing, someone who would be good at that. And yeah, I mean, you just would want to have a discussion. And I think it would be someone that would need to have kind of a big heart and be funny, but also be good with business and be able to come up with, unless that person isn't, and you just give them a list, give them a laundry list of all the, here's all the hashtags to find, because I think making the list of who you're going to target would take a lot less time than actually engaging with them. So if you had someone you didn't think was that good at it intuitively, you could create the list.
So maybe as we go into the close here, one last general question for you, Lauren. Anything on your mind that you felt, oh, I'm going to come into the podcast and talk about that we actually didn't cover? Is there anything where you're like, oh yeah, here's one last tip or one last hack or one last big picture idea? Just curious if there's anything that comes to mind when I say that.
One thing that jumped into mind is a very small point, but I think it's important, is that it's very important to be positive in your post and when you post. I stay clear of anything that could be potentially, I'm Switzerland social media style. So I like no religion, whether I have religious beliefs or not. And I'm not even going to share that because I want to stay neutral to be the most inclusive. So I don't share anything that could spark any controversy, religion, any hot topics I stay clear of. I stay political and just any, I'll just say hot topics. When it came to the pandemic and all that stuff, I stayed clear. I didn't even want to even just kind of go there. So there's that. And then another thing too, is that I see a lot of teachers posting saying stuff like TGIF, can't wait for the weekend. Oh, yay, it's Friday. Friday's here. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that someone would, because my audience is my students are watching. I don't want my students to think I'm excited that I get a break from them. I mean, and what I post is TGIM, if anything, like, yay, it's Monday. I get to see you again, right?
I love that.
You have to think about it. You know, we all need a break, but you gotta, and often teachers will write like, oh, you know, can't wait for this teaching week. or it's going to be, can't wait to teach today. And it's like, that's when you say that, when you say, I'm going to be teaching, that's about you. I always say, I can't wait to see to be with my students, or can't wait for lessons, or the perspective of the student is they're looking at you for lessons. Like you're so, and the final thing I'll say is, post stuff that this may, to me, it's so obvious, but okay. No, here's another one. This is just funny. Like, don't post your Wordle score. Nobody cares. I see this. I have someone's been asking me, I can't grow my social media, and she keeps posting her Wordle score. And it's like, it's not relevant to what you were talking about. So stay relevant, stay on topic. And if you're going to go off topic, say why. And what is the final thing? Post things that you like and you really honestly think other people would like. Ask yourself, is it, and don't just gratuitously just post for the sake of doing it, but do you think it's funny? Does it warm your heart? Does it, and stay positive. And if there is anything that you feel could offend anyone with it, I mean, so just stay positive, be positive, and post, this is such bad advice, post good stuff. That may sound cheap, but there's a lot of stuff that I look at and I think, really? Just stay quality, stay neutral, stay positive.
And I would just say to be practical with that advice, I'm just going to give like an additional bonus hack here. Go find on some of these hashtags that she mentioned 40 minutes ago, go find schools or go find Lauren's profile that have a lot of followers and look at what they're posting. If you are like, I don't know what to post, get out there, look at the kinds of things that are getting a lot of engagement from schools all across the country, all across the world, and use that as a starting point for creativity. And as usual, the best way to learn, in my opinion, is to do. You don't sit and read a book on how to play the piano or how to play the guitar and then think, I'm gonna figure this out theoretically for like a year or two, and then I'm gonna actually go touch the instrument. No, you learn it by doing it. And I think definitely the same thing is true of social media.
And I'm gonna extend an invitation because of that. When you go to my social media, repost my stuff. And I'm not suggesting that you repost my you're welcome to. I'm not suggesting, when I say repost my stuff, I'm not referring to my own students and my own content, and this is nothing for my own gain. If you look at my content, 75% is reposted. Other people's memes, I repost other people's students who I think are good, or, you know, there's Martha Argerich blowing me away. You can actually look at my analytics, go find my posts that have the most engagement and repost those. And again, I want to clarify, I'm not looking for you to, this is not for my own gain. You don't, if it's not my material, you don't have to credit me. And 75% of it is not my material. So you can see who I credit them, post things that are short, that you'll see, like, for example, I have a reel where some guy takes a stick and puts it inside a grand piano and pulls out the lint. And I recalled it piano ASMR. And it got like a million views. It's so ridiculous. It's so random, but it's weird. And I got it from somebody else. I post it every 6 months and it gets mega views. Repost, go find that, repost it. And Daniel, that was one of the best points is exactly find people who are successful, who you think are successful, and basically do what they're doing and do more of what works, do less of what doesn't. And if something isn't working, try something else. Consider it all an experiment. So try everything. And if it doesn't work, as Nelson Mandela said, I never fail. I either win or I learn. No, I never lose. I either win or I learn. So if something doesn't work, you haven't lost. You've learned what doesn't work and you're closer to what does work.
Hey, it's Nate again.
You know, every year at Brooklyn Music Factory, we get dozens and dozens of great reviews from our families. And you want to know how? Because we ask them. And they're happy to leave a review because of the positive impact that we've made on them. And so now I have a simple ask for you. If this podcast, the 7FMS podcast, was helpful to you, would you mind leaving a review for Daniel and I? And please share the podcast with another music school owner that you think might benefit. It's one of the best ways